two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Proudly brought to you by SRE.com.
This is Cougar Sports Saturday. Cougar Sports Saturday.
A presentation of KSL Sports.
Got it for three. Cougars by 20.
Every Saturday, all year long. BYU Sports Talk by Cougar fans.
For Cougar fans.
It's Cougar Sports Saturday.
Here are your hosts,
Mitch Harper and Matt Maimonte.
On your legacy home of BYU Sports. KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
I'm not going to lie, Matt. Sometimes I think the coaching carousel conversation might be more exciting than the actual games. And our text line is blowing up. The UCCU KSL text line 57500. Texter 3917, we were discussing in the previous segment about, you know, does Kalani Sitake factor into the USC coaching search? Because they're 2.5 months in and they still don't have a clear-cut favorite who could be the guy. And if he makes an impression tonight, does that win people over at Heritage Hall? And Texter 3917 writes, money always talks, and I'll bet you if USC offered millions more than what BYU pays him, he'll consider it. Well, yeah, 3917, they'll definitely consider it. Would he take it, though, if USC actually offered? I think that's a different conversation, because I think, honestly, I think you hit it on the head, Matt. Kalani has job security. I mean, had Kalani done what he did at any Power 5 program through 2019, from 2016 to 2019, where they were 2-4 after losses to USF and Toledo, he's fired.
Yep.
BYU stayed patient with him, and that patience is being rewarded. At USC, it's a massive rebuild they have here in LA, whoever takes that job. But I, like you said, I don't think they have the fan base has the patience, because I think they're looking at it, okay, we fired Clay Helton. Now it's time to get back to that national championship glory of Pete Carroll years and win instantly. Like, no, it is a big, big rebuild at USC that's going to take 3 or 4 years. Kalani would be a great fit at USC, but I think he's a better fit at BYU.
Yeah.
And I still think there's – Kalani is the perfect fit for BYU. We were talking in the break with Bordop Frank. And, you know, it'd be great if he could be the next Lavelle.
Yep.
Kalani has said that. He wants to be the Polynesian Lavelle Edwards. BYU is actually a place that will give him that chance, because I don't think there's any interest from BYU to make any sort of coaching change as they transition into the Big 12 Conference. They want that stability, and Kalani Sitake is the perfect leader for BYU.
Let's keep talking about BYU and USC, get into the nitty-gritty with a segment we call Three and Out.
Three and out. A quick hit look at BYU's next opponent on the gridiron. It's Three and Out on Cougar Sports Saturday.
Yeah, we do this on game days where we want to get into the weeds a little bit here. We give you players to watch for each team. We give you some interesting stats that may help determine the winner of the game. And then we finish things up with a bold prediction. And yeah, we do it every week. So let's get going, Mitch.
First down.
A key stat to watch here on first down, and my stat, Matt, I'll start things off, 19. BYU is 19th nationally in total offense, 456.4 yards per game. Had you told people coming into this year, after losing Zach Wilson, after losing Brady Christensen, after losing all the talent they lost from last year's team, they said, you know, you're going to go into the final week of the regular season with the 19th best offense in the country. I think every Cougar fan would have taken that, and I think that's a testament to Jaren Hall, Tyler Allgeier, how good he has been. This BYU offense is explosive, and I'm getting to the point, Matt, where I feel like if BYU gets the ball, they're going to score. And it was that same feeling I had at midway point of last season. I'm getting to that point with this group. They are an explosive unit, and I'm excited to see what they do tonight against USC.
I really like that. And along those lines, my stat is 103. That represents the ranking of USC's defense on third down. They have a hard time getting off the field on third down, and I think with Jaren Hall, his dual threat ability, with Tyler Allgeier being able to run the football, you have so many pass catchers. I think BYU is going to have several sustained drives that result in touchdowns. This is going to be an offensive clinic for a BYU football team.
Second down.
All right, a player to watch in this game. Go ahead, Matt. Let's start with you. Who do you have as the player to watch for BYU?
For me, it's wide receiver Gunnar Romney. Neil Pau is not going to be able to go again. He's the team's leading receiver in terms of total receptions. And last week, Gunnar Romney had a really nice performance against Georgia Southern. 5 receptions, 87 yards, had a long catch of 47. I think sometimes we forget about him because Neil was like the possession guy, and then Puka Nacua has really come along as that big threat, deep downfield pass catcher. And we can't sleep on Gunnar Romney, who I think can just do everything really well. And his ability to come back from both of those injuries is ridiculous. Like, I know at the start of the season, we were talking about him recently married, his wife a yoga instructor. I think I got to get on to yoga more frequently because his ability to bounce back from those knee injuries was really impressive. So I think Gunnar Romney could have a big game against USC.
Yeah, I like that take a lot. And he's someone that said earlier this week that even though he's not a California guy, I think a lot of kids out west grow up of dreaming to play for USC. So there's some extra motivation even for a guy like Gunnar who grew up in Arizona. For me, it's going to be Ben Bywater, one of the leading tacklers for this BYU team, a guy that's been a rising star on the defensive side. He's been thrusted into opportunities with so many injuries to that linebacker room. And I zero in on Bywater because I feel like the drop eight defense that I know is a mixed bag of takes from Cougar fans, it's the perfect fit against an air raid offense in USC. Force the Trojans to run the football. It's crazy to say that, too, because when I think USC, I think of great running backs. And to think that USC has not had a headliner at running back in so many years, it blows me away. It's just unusual to think USC is running an air raid, one, and two, to not have a featured back. It's bizarre. But still, I think Ben Bywater, he's going to be a guy that's going to have a drop back in eight. He's going to get one of those Peyton Wilgard type of interceptions that we've grown accustomed to over the past few years. I think Bywater's going to have a big day today on the Coliseum field.
Third down.
All right, a bold prediction today for this game, and I'll start this one off. I'm going to say, staying in tune with the turnover narrative, I'm going to say BYU's defense forces 5 takeaways. I think that USC, one of the reasons why they're a 4-6 team, despite all of their talent, according to the star ratings, is that they make a lot of mistakes, and they have penalties, and they cough up the football. I think BYU will capitalize on USC's mistakes, and you heard it earlier today, there was no urgency from USC in practice this week. So that lack of urgency, I think, carries over onto the field of play. BYU, I think, is going to be motivated, and that defense, I'm going to say 5 takeaways for BYU's defense. What's your bold prediction?
My bold prediction is that Jaren Hall is going to have 3 touchdown passes of at least 25 yards or longer. I don't respect this back half of the USC defense at all. And you know that Aaron Roderick and this offensive staff, they like to be explosive. They like to take – I mean, how many deep shots did they take against Georgia Southern? Like 12? I mean, it was like every drive they were just, hey, throw it as far as you can. Like, let's go after these guys. And I love that mentality from Aaron Roderick and Jaren Hall. And I think it's going to be the same today. I think there's going to be a lot of opportunities for BYU to convert deep. And then if a guy can break a tackle, then boom, a quick score. So Jaren Hall, I think he's going to throw a lot of passes. He's going to throw for a lot of yards, and I think he's going to have a lot of touchdown passes over 25 yards.
There's three and out for BYU and USC. One quick bonus question, Matt. Ooh. What's more likely, BYU wins by four touchdowns or Claudius Stock is the head coach at USC next year?
BYU wins by four touchdowns. I do think it's interesting. It's just when you look at the way that they have treated's the wrong word, but you look at the way things have gone for the last couple coaches. You fire Lane Kiffin on the tarmac. Clay Helton gets canned a couple games into the season. It's just I don't feel like there's great leadership right now at USC. Yeah. And there is at BYU, at Tom Holmo and President Worthland and even some of the associate ADs, Chad Lewis, Liz Darger. Like, there isn't a phenomenal leadership at BYU. You want to give that up for garbage leadership at USC where expectations aren't in reality in terms of they haven't rebuilt the program ever. They've tried to do quick fixes and it hasn't worked. I'd be shocked if he's interested. And to be honest, and this is no shot on Kalani Sitake because you heard Ryan Abraham talk about this. I don't know if USC wants a guy that's going to do things the right way. I think they want a home run guy that can sell tickets like an Urban Meyer. He's not going to do it, but like Urban Meyer, Bob, just one of these legacy names. I just don't know if USC, and it speaks to the program itself, that they don't want to they don't want to go hire a guy who could actually get the job done. They want a big name who could do what Pete Carroll did. And I'd be shocked if he took the job. I don't think it's a great fit.
Yeah, I would be shocked if USC offered him the job. I think that what hurts Kalani is that he doesn't have national championship pedigree
yep.
in his coaching tenure, whereas Dave Aranda does at LSU. Luke Fickle does at Ohio State. He's doing it at Cincinnati. They're in the playoff right now as a group of five team, and they're on to the Big 12. Kalani misses that component. Like, he's good at Utah. He was good at Oregon State. Well, okay. I mean, they were kind of bad. Oregon State's a bad program for the most part during the last few years. But at BYU, he's a phenomenal fit. But it's not a national championship background. It's more of a projection base. And Kalani, the thing that is the big selling point, I think, for Kalani in the coaching carousel is that he has evolved to where he adapts with the NIL era. He's gotten better where he maintains personnel. Guys don't want to leave and go into the portal. Like, BYU has maintained all three of their quarterbacks. Only one of them's playing, and they've still maintained all three. I think that's a testament to the type of atmosphere, that family culture that Kalani's instilled. And guys are making money, and he's taking care of his players. That is a big selling point, I think, for administrators that like Kalani, and he does it the right way, and he has no controversy around him. So I think that helps his cause. But, yeah, BYU is the perfect fit for him. He could be the head coach of the Cougars for the next 15 years, and no one's going to bat an eye. No other place can offer that in college football to the Kalani Sitake.
Yeah, there's just not a job available right now where you look at it and say, that place has it buttoned up, the administration is great, and the previous coach had been there a long time and left because he retired or went to the NFL. Like, there's just all the jobs that are open to me, LSU, USC, Florida, Virginia Tech, like, they're not great jobs because the expectations are too high and it's just not realistic what they're going to do year over year. So who knows, though? I mean, maybe USC backs up $150 million. I don't know. Like,
We're going to finally get some answers, though, I think starting tomorrow, because once these regular seasons end for so many teams, I think then the coaching carousel starts to churn starting tomorrow, and hopefully we start to see more news start to come out, and we'll obviously have you all covered with the coaching carousel on KSLSports.com. But, yeah, I think BYU is the right fit for Kalani. Washington, to me, is a job that I don't think should even be a threat. BYU is a better job.
Yep.
BYU in the Big 12 Conference is a better job than the Washington Huskies. I mean, I respect the history of Washington, but going forward, that's what it's all about. BYU is the better job in the Big 12 Conference.
Let's take one more break here in a Cougar Sports Saturday on the other side. We'll get you some score predictions for BYU and USC, and we'll kind of wrap up the day that's going to be in BYU sports because it's a huge day, and it's got off to a great start with women's basketball upsetting West Virginia in the St. Pete Showdown. So we'll do that next here. It's Cougar Sports Saturday, powered by KSLSports.com.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com. Follow us on Apple Podcasts or anywhere else you listen.